Thought for today. I have learned I can teach myself anything by reading. I have learned I can teach myself anything by reading. We pick up these little quotations here and there and use them as references for our talks. It gives us a little something to go by. I have learned I can teach myself anything by reading. Now, all the girls and the guys, we had 18, 20 of you, were taking guitar lessons. And we took guitar lessons from a lady in town here, once a week, I believe it was, and nothing took place. No change in our guitarist took place, no change in anybody else, but we bought the books. And then we took the books and we practiced what was in the book. Now, what is the song you know best, Ellen?
Ode.
I'm sorry?
Ode.
Ode to joy.
Ode to joy. Now, what is this ode?
Okay.
Ode to joy. The ode to joy is a very common song. Now, Ellen, will you hum it for me? A little louder, the mouth open. Now, our teacher can teach us the Ode to Joy. She can teach us the strings to strum and how to play the guitar. But if we don't practice it ourselves, we don't get very far, unless we're Mozart, you know. So, how do we practice? We can practice by remembering what the teacher said, and that's a beautiful thing, but we don't do that. We have the book, and we go by the book. And we go by the notes. Most of you can't read music, so you go by whether the note goes up or down. Da 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 da. And sometimes you make a mistake, and sometimes you get it right. But practice, practice, practice. But you're practicing by reading. You're practicing by reading. Now, can you imagine learning mathematics without reading? Can you imagine learning mathematics? 2 times 2 is 4. You see that. You make a mental picture of it and you put it in your consciousness. Now, what is the greatest science in the universe?
Mathematics.
Mathematics. What is the greatest science in the universe? Music. What is the greatest science in the universe? Astronomy. All three sciences are based on one thing. And what is that one thing?
Mathematics.
Everything is based on mathematics. Everything is based on reading. Everything is based on putting down the information so that you have it to refer to again and again and again. Mathematics of itself is of little value unless we learn to apply it to whatever we're working on. Astronomy is of little value if you don't remember where Orion's belt is, you know, and if you don't remember where the various star systems are. By the way, what star system are we in? Anyone know? It's a two-word star system. And it starts with cow. And it ends with Strasse. The Milky Way. Cow, the Milky, Strasse, the Way. It's the Milky Way. That's the, what is that called?
Galaxy.
Why is it called a galaxy?
Because there are different star systems in it.
A galaxy is a star system, isn't it? It's a system of stars. So we look at our Milky Way and what is the predominant star in our Milky Way? Is it our sun? Or is it one of the other greater stars?
There might be a greater star than the sun.
And how many stars are there in our Milky Way, which is our galaxy?
Lots.
And how, yeah. And how many stars that have planets about them, which might have an Earth planet included in it, that could support life as we know it. How many of those could exist? Again, lots. Now, wouldn't it be fascinating to study the star system, the solar system, the galaxies, the universe? Wouldn't it be fascinating to study that and get to know the people on the other Earth systems? Wouldn't it be fascinating? Now, how are we going to do it? Are we going to do it like they do in New Mexico? Have people drop in from other other planets and other other star systems and other whatever, like ET or something like that? Are we going to do that? Are we going to have these extraterrestrials around here? And what good have the extraterrestrials done for us up to now? They haven't even made themselves known to us so that we could talk to them. That might be quite interesting. Now, do they exist? The answer is yes. Does it matter? The answer is no. Now, who was your great-great-grandfather? What was his name, Patricia? It doesn't really matter because we don't know, so you can give us any name. What?
Elmer.
Elmer. Okay. Now, her great-great-grandfather, Elmer, was the president of the United States before he came from Europe. And after he came from Europe, then he was the chancellor of Berlin. Now, doesn't that sound fascinating?
Sounds great.
Sounds just great. Now, what difference does it make? What year was it in? Who is Elmer? What's his last name? Does he come from a family tree, or did he come from Czechoslovakia? And when he came from Czechoslovakia, his name is blah, 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 blah. And so they called him Joe instead. So he became Elmer Joe. And his last name was forgotten because he had come from a country where the immigration officers here who received him didn't know how to pronounce his name. This happened to, I would say, the majority of the immigrants that come into the United States in the past, because people were not educated who were working in the immigration department. Today, if you're from Czechoslovakia, they have someone from Czechoslovakia, you're out, you know. And if you're from Germany, they have a German or a Swiss or whatever, because they don't tell you that. They don't tell you. They just tell you that this is the person who would be working on your case. And you don't realize that he was born in Zurich, he speaks Witzendeutsch, and he also speaks Romanish, and he also speaks Italian and German, you know. But they don't tell you that. They just let you think that he's just one of the Joes there. And so you talk to him, and you say to him, oh yes, I'm from Zurich, from some little town there. Okay.
Edmatingen.
Okay, can't even pronounce it. Edmatingen. I'm from Edmatingen. And he'll say, oh, wonderful. That really is high in the mountains, and it must be very cold in the winter. And you say, no, unless they had an earthquake or something. It's in a lovely valley. It's right down near Zurich. It's right near the lakes, and it's really very temperate in climate. Oh, okay. And then he says, Switzerland is, and he gives you some false information, just to see if you are tuned in to Switzerland, because you might have come in under a Swiss agreement, which had 100 people coming in, and you're one of the hundreds, whereas if you'd come in through the Czechoslovakian treatment, there was only 10 people coming in, and they already had the 10, and you wouldn't have been allowed. And so you pretended you were from a different country. And so they check you out to see if you really are from where you are. And this is not unusual. And it's not bad, it's not good. But how wise it is for people, if they're going to tell a story, to know what the story is about themselves. The story about Edma Tingen. We happen to have several of our students from Edma Tingen, and that's why we know Edma Tingen, and I don't necessarily know how to pronounce it, but everybody else pronounces it very well. Now, how do you learn how to pronounce these things? You learn how by talking to someone who knows how to pronounce it. Now, many of these people, they come from Switzerland, and they say Zurich. Now, they're from Zurich, and they pronounce it in a strange way. And also, Monaco in Italy, isn't it, or someplace down there, in Monaco, in France, they pronounce that Munich, right?
Monaco.
Monaco. Well, what do they pronounce Munich?
Monaco.
München is Monaco in Italian.
See, she wants to correct me when I'm saying the right thing. Yeah. And so, now, how do you know if I'm going to Munich in Germany or to Munich in Monaco? And and the trains are not that far apart. And Ingeborg was in Italy during the war, and she was from Dusseldorf, and so she probably had all sorts of trouble with Monaco, if it was interesting to her in Munich. But we learn anything by teaching ourselves. And we can learn all of the magic, the music of the spheres, by teaching it to ourselves, by reading. Now, how do we read the music of the spheres? How do we read the solar systems? How do we read mathematics? Well, stop and think about it. How do you really read mathematics? You really read it one point at a time. We look at mathematics as being some grand scheme of information that is just enough to boggle the mind. Most people have no happy relationship with mathematics. But Mozart was one of the finest mathematicians that ever lived, because he was one of the finest musicians that ever lived. And Beethoven, Bach, Einstein. Oh, Einstein, hey, he was a physicist and a mathematician, but he was also a musician. Music and math go hand in hand, because they are the perfect placed notes, the perfect placed scale. Now, we think the tonal scale is just do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And that's only the beginning. Because then there are sharps, and then there are flats. And then there are double sharps, and double flats, and triple sharps, and triple flats, and triple, quadruple sharps, and quadruple flats. How can that be? But there are. And it takes a fine ear to tune in to knowing what those notes are, to knowing where those sharps and flats are. Now, a musician can do that, because a musician sings those notes and hears those notes inside. First, he learned them on paper. He saw them on the scale, and he read them. And after reading them, he put that memory in his bank of what those notes really are and where they're going. We think, no, you can't learn everything by reading. But you really can. You can learn everything by reading, because everything is written down. Everything is written down. We think that the Bible is written down, and it wasn't. How was the Bible transferred?
I'm sorry?
Talking
one to the other
by storytelling.
By what?
By telling it.
How was the Bible written down? Well, that's a good logical guess. The Bible was first written down in the minds of the scribes who did not have anything to scribe it on. They memorized the Bible. The priests, the rabbis, memorized the Old Testament. And they memorized it and memorized it and memorized it, and from generation to generation they told it. Do you think they had papyrus in the beginning? Certainly not. Do you think that just because we skipped the cavemen and came into the Bible man that there was the instant learning of a language? What happened in the Bible when, according to the Bible, people were not doing such nice things with each other? According to the Bible, God struck them dumb and destroyed the Tower of Babel and made them all sound like they were babbling, because each group spoke a different language and they could not communicate. Now, was that a written language? How did they destroy, or how did they inculcate the languages into these many tribes who were building the Tower of Babel? Interesting, huh? When Jesus talked about the speaking in tongues in the upper room, how did these people become instructed in speaking in all these strange tongues, like German and French and Italian, you know, things like that? And there was nothing more complex than that. But how did they? Well, they infiltrated the upper room with these people from these different languages. Is that true?
Yeah, they listened.
They listened within. They read the Bible within themselves, they read the book within themselves, and they followed it. When did they get into trouble? When they began to listen to the book of somebody else. Who were some of the beginning somebody else's in the Bible? Abraham? Noah? Go to the New Testament, you got the same situation. Who did people listen to in the New Testament?
The New Testament, Jesus.
In the New Testament area, time, they listened to whoever was the ruling power. Caesar, for one. Caesar was from Czechoslovakia, wasn't he?
Italy.
Caesar was from Rome. There was no Italy. I mean, that's you on a later note here. Huh?
That's the old Roman Empire.
The Roman Empire. Wasn't he from there? Yeah. And did the people try to get to know? What did Jesus say about him? He says, if the Romans are charging a tax, give unto the Romans that which is the Romans, and give unto God that which is God's. So, you see, were these things strange? Were these things universal? In a way of speaking. But in a way of speaking, each new philosopher, each new being comes along and writes a new book in their mind. And how is the new book carried out?
His life?
By living it. Mm-hmm. Each new book is carried. How is the Bible in you being lived? How are you reading from your Bible? Are you following the Bible in you? Are you living by it? Are you listening to the Bible? You hear a talking Bible, you know. They have talking dictionaries now too. So you got this talking Bible inside of you. Do you listen to it? Mm-hmm. What does it say to you? What does it say to you?
I like me.
Oh, I heard you say, I love me. I like me. Why don't we say, I love me?
Because when I love me, I might not like what I do.
When you like yourself, you like everything you do. You like all of the dumb stuff and all the good stuff that you do. You just enjoy being you. And that is wonderful. But when you love yourself, you just overlook all your little foibles. A girl and boy in love, they don't even know what each other look like, you know. Oh, Mom, I love him. What's he look like? I don't know, you know. You just don't know, because love is what?
Blind.
Blind. So the saying goes, Where are we getting all these idioms from? Where are we getting all these statements from?
How is it?
We get them from the reading that we do. Are you reading?
Yes.
Are you listening within?
Yes.
Are you following the divine in you? Are you taking that book and making it yours? If you do, miracles will happen for you. If you don't, miracles will happen for you. Mm-hmm. Now, what did I just say that sounded contradictory?
You said when we listen, miracles happen, and when we don't listen, miracles happen.
How can miracles happen when you don't listen?
It's always cause and effect.
You go ahead. I will help you. When you listen to the divine within, you have fabulous miracles, the greatest miracles you could ever imagine. When you don't listen to the divine within and just listen to the world around you, you have ordinary miracles. You don't have the big kind, the whoppers. You just have the little ones. You have the 99-cent hamburger instead of the $5 hamburger. You know?
The ones that shock you. And you go, oh, miracle hamburger.
Yeah. And isn't that wonderful? You feel, wow, that's great. Like Ellen, she used to always have a lot of illumination. She'd, I see, oh boy, oh yeah. And we would ask her what it was, and she'd tell us. And then other times she'd say, yeah, I understand. Well, see, it wasn't such a big one. It was just sort of a minor one. But that's all the fun of it. Now, how can we teach ourselves to listen within? How can we teach ourselves to benefit from listening within, from reading our own inner book? How can we benefit ourselves from that? Do we benefit ourselves by reading our own inner book, by just going off and doing as we damn please? Makes no difference what is right or wrong, or good or bad, or happy or unhappy. Just go and do your own thing. Or is the most wonderful thing in the world following your inner direction? Now, there's a story that a Sufi tells, and the father had his favorite son, and the favorite son was 23, 24, whatever, and he was helping the father out in the fields and doing the work. Well, a neighbor came along and appreciated the work they did, and so the neighbor gave him a horse. And so the son got familiar with the horse and learned how to ride it. And then one day, the horse threw the son, and the son got a broken leg. And this horse that was a gift now broke the leg of their only son, the one they need on the farm. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Then the next day, along comes the royal guard of the state court. He said, I understand you have a 23-year-old boy here in good shape. We're going to take him into the military. We're fighting the doomsday battle. Nobody's coming back. And so the father says, oh, how wonderful. I'm so happy you want to take my son. He has a broken leg right now. He got kicked. He got thrown off his horse and broke his leg. Oh, we don't want any cripples. We don't want any cripples. And so he stayed at home and his leg healed. Now, what would you say about that? Would you say that was terrible that the person who gave him the horse threw the boy and broke his leg? Or would you say that the horse who threw the child didn't have very many thoughts for today, didn't have very many gifts that would come out of it, you know? Or would you say, hey, look, this is what the father said. All the neighbors were saying, isn't that too bad that your horse, the horse that was a gift to you, threw your son and broke his leg? And the father said, well, before, my son was planning on going to the military. And then the horse came along, which was a lovely gift, and threw him and broke his leg. Now my son stays home. When he's well, he'll still stay home. He doesn't have to go off to this doomsday battle where everybody gets killed. And he is perfectly happy. He did not shirk his calling to the nation of going and serving in the battle. He was available, but they wouldn't take him. And it wasn't a bad wouldn't taking him because he was mentally unstable or some other silly thing like that. But it was just because he was thrown off a horse. Well, is he going to be healed? You bet he will. Is he happy? You bet he is. You see, this is what it's all about. We don't know what gifts are coming to us. We don't know what blessings we're creating for ourselves. Would you say, well, how could I create that for myself? How could I create a blessing for myself, having my son thrown off the horse, having a broken leg? My God, I must be a very gruesome person to do that. No, you're not. You don't create the horse throwing your son. You create yourself accepting good and wonderful gifts. And then everything that comes along, you accept as a further gift. You accept as something else that's beautiful and good. And then as each step comes along, it will be shown to you. Because when you're on a roll, you know what being on a roll means? In Las Vegas, when you're on a roll with your blackjack, you keep throwing the dice, you know, and it keeps coming up 7-11, 7-11, 7-11, or whatever the numbers are that you want. So when you're on a roll, following the divine within yourself, go for it. When you're on a roll, following the harmony, the beauty, and the goodness within you, go for it. Because you'll find miracles will come your way. And miracles are what it's all about. And the miracle comes your way all because you have learned everything you know by reading the book within you. I have learned I can teach myself anything by reading. And I have talking books. And I thoroughly enjoy my activities. So this day, your thought for today, I have learned I can teach myself anything by reading. You could even rephrase that. I was thinking about how sometimes we go running after the one sheep that's lost, and we don't tend to the 99. Why don't we just say, all my sheep are safely in my flock, or let the word safe out. All my sheep are present in my flock. I miscounted. All my sheep are present in my flock, and they will be there. You put the cause in motion, and you will get the results, and wonderful results they are. I've learned I can teach myself anything by reading, and I have, and I do. And I am, and I will, and I love you.